What is up, everyone? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And we are here doing it like we always do. Always just the two of us, never more, like Dark Lords of the Sith. Two and only two, and no one else is ever there.
Oh my God.
We are here. It is bone cold in New York City. We're all dying out here. Pete, this is normal for you. You live in some sort of snow belt. The people don't know, but you see the comic boxes there? Around that is an igloo. He lives in a house of ice. Mm-hmm. Pete, how are you doing tonight?
It's crazy out here. The world's insane, but I'm happy that we get to talk about comics. I'm excited about our show and our amazing guests. So, I'm hanging in there, man.
Hell yeah. Well, you know what? Let's get to it. I'm very excited about this book. We have a great guest. She's the writer of First Freedom, the story of Opal Lee and Juneteenth. Please welcome out to our rectangles, Angelique Roche. Yay! Here we go. Hey,
welcome. Welcome. Great to have you.
I love this good thank you for letting me be in your rectangles.
It's always welcome. It's rectangles within rectangles. That's all the world is.
As long as we're not being squares, I'm fine.
Hey, exactly. Come on.
We had the option to do squares. We said, hell no, let's get weird. We're pushing for rhombus, but we're never going to get there. So Angelique, let's talk about this book. We got to read it. It's very exciting. Can you tell us about the book first, First Freedom?
So the book, The First Freedom, the story of Opal Lee and Juneteenth, is this mix of biopic. It tells about the life of Dr. Opal Lee, who people call the grandmother of Juneteenth because she's always been extremely passionate about helping people. But she got a little bit of a fire after she retired from her day job helping kids in school. To continue helping the community, and eventually decided she was going to walk to Washington, D.C. to raise awareness to make Juneteenth a national holiday. And she's got this really incredible story, but we also blend that together with some real history, including the history of Juneteenth, the history of why it's called the First Freedom, as well as some other key points in history that happened during Miss Opal's life.
Now, so what, getting into the book, like the book has, I love the story structure. Like you're saying, you jump around in time. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's, when you're telling anyone's story, how did you come upon that as a way of sort of getting into it and being able to incorporate so many other, sometimes dramatic events into it?
So the thing about approaching a story of a person who is a century old is it's quite overwhelming about where parts.
That's what I was like to approach it, and like you went out of your way to be like, oh, I'm gonna bring this in. Like you're like, you even went in deeper than you quote unquote needed to.
And I think for me it was talking to Dr. Lee, right? It's like having these conversations, listening to the stories that when she'd smile, or things that I felt like were important, or things that seemed, let's put it this way. Sometimes when we think about our heroes, we think they're perfect, right? They've never made a mistake. They've never been madly deeply for the wrong person. You never had to go through all of these points in their life that all of us go through. And it was really important, one, to keep the authentic Miss Opal Lee in it. Like she still has this energetic, very like joyful, hopeful, almost like when you're a kid, you're like, no, but let's do it. Like, how do we get and so part of it was, I loved when Miss Opal Lee told the story about the buckets, and I won't give anything else. So it felt like it had to be in the book.
Right.
But also that night at the White House at the holiday party was real. I was there.
That's so cool.
And so it was this opportunity to show that contrast of 1936 on a farm in the middle of Texarkana is where she starts.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, the President of the United States is acknowledging her name at the White House.
Well, just on that, so what was it like being there? And are you like scribbling notes on like a very tiny notebook, or how is that working in the White House?
So I'm really lucky. I used to work on Capitol Hill, and so I had had an opportunity to have gone to the White House, that and my past job at the Ms. Foundation. But it's every year for the holiday party, it's something different, right? Every year, that's the big thing. The first lady gets to decide how all of the rooms are decorated, and every single president makes it different. And so it was kind of incredible this year because his dogs couldn't be there. Because I don't know if you know the story about Joe Biden's dogs.
Yes.
We're not people dogs.
No, not hanging out. Commander, I believe, was the dog's
Commander was
name.
not a
That
people
was, yeah,
dog.
no.
Sonny and Bo, people dogs. They were like,
Yeah.
we will let you pet us. Please come love us. We are great. Commander.
And now, yeah.
And so Commander is like in this little stuff, like he's represented as a stuffed animal.
Nice.
And Joe Biden also had a cat. President Joe Biden also had a cat. So stuffed
Less
animal,
reported upon cat, but yes.
right? Less reported upon.
Yeah.
But it's always incredible seeing the kids' choirs and seeing people look at this winter wonderland. And the Albert Epps did such an incredible job capturing the hallway where Miss Opal is walking down, and like all of the little
Yeah.
snow balls are just like hanging with the icicles. It was great. And it was wonderful seeing her because it wasn't her first time at the White House, but she was just as excited as if it was the first time.
Right.
Wow.
That's so. Oh, you go.
Yeah, I just love that you brought up the artist. I love the art style of the book as well. Also, it's so informative and such a great way to tell this story that kind of makes you feel like you're a part of the journey, which is so great. He talk a little bit, because there are these just amazing panels that you feel light, you feel such emotion. The artist does such a great job of capturing that. Can you talk a little bit about like maybe why you went with the artist that you did, or how you guys kind of like talked about bringing these panels to kind of life?
So shout out to Megan Brown, who is my incredible, incredible, incredible editor. She went out of her way to find some really amazing artists, and Alvin, Bex, Millicent, all. And also I got to shout out the colorists, Damali, like
Yeah.
Yeah.
the variations in color, the variations in like adding texture into the color was so important for us to ensure there was also tone diversity. But they did such an incredible job at ensuring, and let's be real, I was also like, no, that's not the kind of car. This is the kind of car. And I
Wow.
sent them about, for each section, they probably got about a 50-page photo reference.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Thing to go with it because it's hard to explain to people what you mean by pigtails in 1936,
Right.
right? Because most people have one image of how a little girl would dress in 1940. And so it was a big deal to make sure we had those variations. Oh, these pages, how
Yeah.
appropriate.
Well, and I love all the research that you had on hand, especially like you don't hear about a lot of books that are graphic novels that are where you get firsthand interview with the subject. What was that like? How did you? It's a lot of translation you're doing here.
Yeah, it was incredible. So so I've spent a lot of my career interviewing people. So I've been very lucky where I've had some really incredible interview with folks. I've interviewed one of the first people who was on the first Freedom Riders bus. Like I've had some really incredible opportunity, but also like Tom Holland. Incredible interview. It's just very different.
The Tom Holland story. Your
Yes.
next graphic novel? Not
Flips and
the
dips.
same.
But it's the way she made space. So we worked really closely with Deion Sims, her granddaughter, who's also portrayed in the book, who has been absolutely incredible and now is like her right and left hand. And getting a chance not just to interview her. So the way we did it wasn't just an interview. So we went down And at first week was a week before Christmas. And we helped wrap the Christmas giveaway boxes. we went to church. We went to Mithopo's farm. We went by the house a couple times. And I had the privilege of going back again and just like riding on a day with her. And like seeing how that day went and her getting dropped off for a speaking engagement. And, you know.
Now, did you know that that's what you were going to do going in? That feels like impromptu or like very meticulously planned.
So the speaking engagement, the second trip was very kind of impromptu. Like I knew I wanted to go to Texarkana and see the family's land. I knew I wanted to go to Wiley College so we can have a better understanding because Wiley is actually quite a small college, but I wanted to see if we could do any additional research. And even when I went to Texarkana, they like connected me with another close cousin so we can do more conversations. And I interviewed Miss Dion and her children. But the first trip down, I was lucky enough we had a camera crew come with us because I also wanted to make sure we got the references, right? Yeah. Because these aren't references. You just go, Google Fort Worth in 1940.
Yeah, you don't get the specifics, no.
Well, you're not getting the specifics of that side of town.
Right, exactly.
And so it was pretty incredible getting those little story benchmarks. But once we did all that, I'm like, and now I have to go back and find the actual dates for everything that she just said. Because when she said, when I'm younger, she meant 40. She didn't mean 16.
Yeah.
When a 97-year-old woman says, when I was younger.
Yeah. That could mean 80. Yeah. Like, you don't know.
And look, to be that lucky.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
And there was so much more of her life that just wasn't going to fit in the book. But, you know, just getting a chance to talk with her, just getting a chance to see her files, getting a chance to see what she saves, and even things she didn't talk about. There are things that she didn't talk about that were just, once you start pulling the string, you find out.
What can you say what that is?
Oh, I think nothing in like in a bad way, but like find out she was the chairperson of the MLK parade as well, and you find out that she's featured in this book club and she was like Fort Worth's Texas Woman of the Year in, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, and that she was a precinct chair and she had started this other organization that gave scholarships, and just like, when did you sleep?
Well, I feel like, I mean, just based on learning about her from your book, like, her life was huge. Like, I'm not going to remember everything in my life. And she lived, like, 9 lives.
Yes. Yes. And raised 4 kids.
That is wild. Getting in a little bit deeper into the, like, there's a lot of talk about the mirrors. I feel like the mirror is very important in this story. And
you know, one of the hardest parts of the story was figuring out where to start.
Yes.
And it's interesting. So with that particular first page, which I love to death, you know, I felt like Miss Opal was carrying her younger self around with her all the time anyway. And I wanted to find a way to bring things full circle in that, man, I have to convey to people who have always had running water, most people, right? Who generally know what a phone is and they know what a computer is and have never had to, you know, bring water in from outside. How do I convey how much life she's had?
Right.
And being able to contrast that, because I really wanted people to see that her personality, her faith, her ability to want to do for others was rooted in what her family would have done and how people took care of each other and how people made sure everyone was okay. And I wanted that to start on the farm because she had such fond memories of it. And that's what had led her to starting Miss Opal's Farm and getting to the farm to table, and why it was so important for her to do these food banks. And, you know, eventually I was like, can we just do this and like pull the audience through the mirror?
Great idea. Yeah, it worked really well.
And I really, what I liked about it especially, because yes, it helps us sort of get the window in, but it felt like it helped really capture like the childlike joy, or like the, she was able to maintain, especially hearing what you're describing being with her, this like energy and purity of a kid throughout a life of like living through an amazing amount of history.
Yeah.
So that was just a great way to get that image across right at the top of the book. A question from Easy Reader. How long did it take to develop the book?
So the first year was mostly research. My editor had to pull me out of it. there was always something else. There was always something else. I was always like, oh, here's a photographer who took all of the pictures that I was finding, and I got to get his book. And, you know, with algorithms and databases, like, you're never going to find the same thing each time. But putting those dates together was really important to me, right?
Yeah.
If something happened during the Great Depression, then it explains why someone was looking for work, right? If someone's parent, like her dad, went into the Navy after her parents split, like, that makes sense because it's World War II in Korea, right? And I wanted those things to make sense, because that history so many times is told out of context.
Yeah.
And so I think it creates a barrier to us being truly able to relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Megan was like, I'm going to need you to write the book.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh yeah. So the outline was made like while I was doing the history, and then we really did a process where the family looked at it in draft. The family looked at the script. The family would give feedback if something needed to be shifted.
Wow.
If, you know, and there'd be certain times where I'm like, nope, that happened then. I'm so sorry. I have the, because that's a lot of times what had to happen for me, not because I was pushing back against them, but because I was trying to put the book in a decently chronological order. Because as you know, that is sometimes gets sacrificed when it comes to condensing things. But, you know, I needed to know if they got married before or after MLK was shot, so that I know if he was just over for dinner, or if they were living together, because that would change the way I depicted the scene. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was something really important to me. And that process continued, right? Like every time I would get stuck, I'd make sure I'd double check, try to get as much firsthand as I could. But I was really great going back and forth with the family. And there's a number of times we're like, yeah, that didn't happen like this. Or she might not have her actual nickname.
Right.
Wow. So it was really good.
And now you said that you did work on Capitol Hill in D.C. That's, I'm sure, we don't want to get into that perhaps, but to talk about sort of politics for a sec.
Couldn't imagine why politics would be something we don't want to talk about
today. Well, yeah, exactly. But I mean, to touch on it a little bit, at a time when history, especially Black history, is literally being erased from everywhere that the government can get its hands on it, how did that feel working on this? And like you were just saying, like getting even more specific with the information and being a steward about this information to tell a police story?
More determined to put in every single reference that I could without overwhelming the story. And that was really the big thing, is like, even the businesses she goes to where they're making their drop-offs at that point of the book with her mom, those are based on real Fort Worth businesses that no longer exist. And they reference real people. Like, William Gooseneck McDonald was the first self-made Black millionaire in Texas, and he became the first black chair of the Republican Party and started a bank, right? Wow. Like, these people made such an incredible impact. You can look up the Green Book and, yeah, you know, that beauty salon. Thank you for agreeing with me, Dumont. that beauty salon is there, right? And
yeah,
again, you then go down rabbit holes. You're like, don't go down the rabbit hole of learning about Dr. Baker's story. Walk away.
I love how much you're stopping yourself from doing research. I feel like people don't love research, I think. But you're like, I can't do any more of this. They're not allowing me to.
Well, I love it because it does dictate, like, was her dad still in the house? Was her dad not still in the house? Like,
right. Mm-hmm.
Because you want the story to be accurate. And luckily, you know, my dad's a librarian. I'm studying as a librarian. I teach Black history and African American rhetoric and culture. Like, I'm like,
yeah,
that doesn't, I am missing a fact. Like,
right. You can sense a missing fact, the absence of fact.
Yeah.
A couple questions here coming in. One from Stray Bullet, who is our chef down in New Orleans. Stray, Angelique is in New Orleans. That's where she lives. What is on the Nerd Wall?
That is Scotty Young.
Oh, yeah.
He did a big, I can't remember the full name of it, like Big Marvels, where he did all of his work of all of his variant covers.
Yeah.
I am a big fan. It's signed, I think. Maybe. Scotty's a good dude. So that's what's on there. There's more stuff on the other side of this nerd wall. there's lots of comic books that I've hung up. But yeah, that's Scotty Young.
That's the one. That's the prime position. I should say that when we first got on with Angelique, her first question was, Pete, are those long boxes or short boxes? Which, baller question. No one's ever asked that before. So shouts.
Yeah.
To that.
And like, do I need to worry for your safety?
Yes, we always do. Easy Reader also asks, does Angelique still get to read X-Men comics?
I read them for fun now. Yes, I do read them for fun. I don't have to read them for work anymore.
Nice. That's going to be enjoyable. The Storm comics have been unbelievable lately. So good.
Mirawa is...
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. He's an incredible writer.
Yeah. We had him on here, and he also is so, like, energized about doing that book. He's so excited. I was like, I don't know how you're doing it, moving the way he moves between big ideas and jams. I'm like, most people try that, and it doesn't work. And he's somehow, like, dancing through the raindrops of that book. Even through the Age of Revelation, he still fucking did it. It's amazing. That book's amazing.
He is always, like, I did an interview with him and his it's Mira and Io. Oh, what is the partner that he worked on when he first came to Marvel? My brain is completely blanking right now. And you could just tell they're both wired. Like, they love the art of comics. They love the art of making comics. It's
nice.
Yeah.
So what are you working on now in comics? What are you, what's your next move after doing a big, big project like this?
Yeah, congratulations. Just unbelievable. It was so great.
One is getting this book out as far and wide as we possibly can. I am working on something I cannot talk about yet, but hopefully we'll be able to talk about soon. It's independent. Doing the pitch thing. But we're looking forward to a couple more Marvel's Voices coming out this year.
Awesome.
Excited about. And, you know, honestly, trying to find more ways to tell really cool stories with people that already exist in history.
You want to stick with, like, really getting history, bringing history to life.
Yeah, but I also feel like there's room into making some of our real history people into superheroes by utilizing their actual characteristics in history.
Cool.
Well, and let me say, while I was reading this, I was like, this is like a superhero origin. Like, it's structured in a way, like, you snuck it in there. You did it. and shouts to you. Like, the scene, especially, like, this one of the scenes that really popped for me is when you jump back and it's the sergeant talking to his commander. And I was like, to have a scene that like, out of nowhere, just like, literally popped off. And I was like, oh, I did not expect this. And then to jump right back, like, it was like that kind of, I already said it, but weaving in and out is really good. But like,
thank you.
I think that's that Nat Towson has the question. How do you write history and make it feel a compelling story and not homework?
Yeah. So I honestly, and I will say this, I probably wouldn't have made this statement 2 years ago. It's like, one, you have to be a person who gets really excited about the history. like, you can't just, like, you have to be energetic and energized, because I think when you're like that, you find the places that are relatable and you are innately looking into what is interesting, right? And so when we went down that first time, like, I put all the list of places I wanted to go with the team, and one of them is I really wanted to go to the site of the house from 1939. And so when we went to the site, there's no house there. And I'm like, oh, I have to know what happened to this house, because the house didn't fully burn down. There's a story. And so I finally find like this track record of the house. It's gone here, like this and this and this. And I'm like, okay, the property's in a trust. What trust is this? What's happening? And so the next day, I'm talking to Miss Dion and Miss Opal, and they go, oh yeah, Habitat for Humanity owns it, and they're going to give us the property. And I'm like, And so this was like a little, like, this was a significant amount of time before they broke ground on the house she now lives in, which is on the property, right?
Oh, wow.
And I immediately went, the end of the story has to be at that house.
Yeah.
Like, we don't really have a choice. And I got very lucky in that we didn't have to make the house up.
Right.
I could not have foretold that the house would exist before we were done with the book.
Wow. The answer to the question is, history is cool.
History is really cool. History is fascinating. When it's people who are okay with things being wrong and things not going exactly as planned and people being imperfect, like, history is fascinating. Like, I'm the type of person, when I found out that by the end of the Roman Empire, that the piping in the Roman Empire had basically caused the IQ of the Roman Empire to lower significantly, therefore maybe helping to cause the downfall of the Holy Roman Empire.
Wow.
Fascinating to me that they lead poisoned themselves with the technology. Terrible, but yeah. Fascinating.
Well, especially, all we talk about is the pipes part. We don't talk about how made them dumb till they lost.
I'm just nobody wants to talk about the part where the pipes were lead.
Yeah.
Wow.
Truth. I didn't know that myself, so that's
good. Welcome.
Thank you for sharing your mind there. That's pretty cool.
Straight bullet, controversial question. Don't say specifics, but what neighborhood is this? Are you
in? It's in Fort Worth in the Polytechnic neighborhood.
There it is.
But you can literally just Google it. Like, Google Miss Opal gets brand new house, and it was covered widely because it is on the exact property that in 1939 a mob ran her family out of.
Yeah. He comes back with a real question. Will Angelique be attending Chewbacca's?
Ooh, I am contemplating attending Chewbacca's if I am in town.
All right.
But I am a big fan of the Chewbacca's parade. In fact, if the nerds here have never gone to Chewbacca's, it's worth just coming down for that parade to see just how nerdy New Orleans.
I gotta go. It's on my list of things I gotta do.
Pete's this close to moving to New Orleans. Just put it out there.
You're selling it. Just come.
There it is.
We welcome is. All.
What more do you need?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
To hear?
Oh, man.
Fantastic. Anything else you'd like to plug or promote or say out here in the world, Angelique?
I really enjoyed this conversation, but I really enjoyed that you focused on, like, look, history can be mad boring. Like, it can. It could be dry. When we dissected from, these are real people's lives and it's real stories. And one day we too shall be history. And I'm really proud of this book because it can be used just to read. It could be used to have a good story. It could be used as like an educational resource. Cause I really wanted to be like, I can't fit everything in here. Please, if you would like to keep reading, here is a list of further reasons.
Yeah, yeah. It's just wild, though. Kids now, like, I didn't have this when I was a kid, where, like, it's like, here's your assignment, and it's, like, a sick graphic novel. I'm like, what? It's so lucky. Like,
yeah.
This is my hope.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're nailing it. The book is First Freedom, The Story of Opalie and Juneteenth. It's fantastic. I love reading it.
Recommend.
Definitely go pick it up. Angelique, it's been such a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah,
we'll
see
you
so
at Chewbacca's sometime in the future.
Yeah, definitely.
Great to have you here.
Yeah, take care of yourself. Thank you.
Later. I removed myself.
He kicked himself out.
And now you're the host, Andre.
Yeah, now you got to take over. That's how it works. You interview one, and then you got to continue the show.
That's how we do it. Yeah. Pass it on. Angelique Rocher, the writer of First Freedom, The Story of Opalie and Juneteenth. Man, it's a great book. And truly, yeah. My big takeaway, especially from talking to Angelique, is like, the stories are right there. It's you don't need to. They're just great. And when you have a great storyteller like her and her artists, like, and to have it in a graphic novel form, it's truly, I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, it's great on so many levels, like she was talking about. I mean, you can just, it's beautiful art-wise. It's a beautiful book, artistically well done. And then there's just so many great layers of not only history, but then just of somebody's life and struggles. And, you know, it's all the things.
Wild. Very wild. Yeah. But one thing before, I guess we should go, while we're sticking in our sort of New Orleans portion, we should talk about our featured cocktail. Of course, Brett Macris. Stray Bullies. He works at Shift down in New Orleans.
If you're in there, you got to check it out. It's just amazing food all the time.
Every week he makes a cocktail. This is a special shout out to Mr. Nat Townsend. It is Nat Townsend's Hot Tater Toddy.
Whoa.
There are a lot of ingredients in this one. It's water, honey, brown sugar, orange, lemon, clove, ginger, nutmeg, cinnamon, peppercorns, allspice, whole lemon, cloves, cognac, amaro, Peychaud's bitters. I know how to say Peychaud's. Alex doesn't. And two dashes of your favorite orange bitters. Angostura works. And that's for all the sickies out there. This is to really fix
He's looking out for people. It's nice.
Yes, and if you want this recipe, this one is hard to just read the ingredients because there are so many. We will send it to you. Drop us a note at comicbooklive at Gmail, and we'll send you the recipe. But it's a great hot toddy. He doesn't know how to spell Nat's name, which is very funny. please check it out.
It's a tricky name, you know what I mean?
Nat, it's me, the star of Cocktail, 100%. very good. Well, now it's time to turn over to our favorite section because you guys make it up. It is your audience questions. Woo-hoo! If you have a question, just please drop it in the comments. We will answer it. We will talk about it. We will mull it over like a great mulled wine, another hot beverage.
Yeah.
That you might have. But before we get to the audience questions, Pete, what you got on your drink table?
You know, I'm just doing a little Godzilla beer. You know what I mean?
You bought some sort of case of this stuff, right? Is that
You know, sometimes in life, things are catered towards your nerdy likes. And if you put Godzilla on a product, I don't care what that product is, I will then buy it. So
you hear that, brands? The marketing works. It's really real out there. Fantastic. Glad to hear that. I am drinking some sort of Hobo Negroni.
Good for you.
Gin. I only had sweet or dry vermouth, so I did dry vermouth and some sfumato on top. It's an insane cocktail, but it's working. It's really working.
Speaking of ingredients, you know, something I want to talk to you about today is, I don't know if you've ever tried to make your own hot sauce that you put on garbage plates, but in honor of the Bills game this weekend, I was in charge of making the hot sauce.
You made hot sauce?
That's right. The meat hot sauce that you put your ground beef into and cook it for hours.
Yeah.
It had allspice in there, just like it was in the list of ingredients for the
recipe stuff. All right.
Well, man, it was delicious, and I was super proud of it. Unfortunately, it didn't help the Bills win, but, man, we made garbage plates on Saturday. The whole family, like my mom made the mac salad, my brother made the burgers and the fries and stuff, and I brought the meat hot sauce. So it was a magical time until the game started. But, man,
it was fine when it started. It was just the end that really
the end was absolutely heartbreaking. And you know, I'm still not over it. I mean, Buffalo is just.
No, Buffalo's devastated as usual. We cry when Josh cries. Question number one: what flavor is Godzilla beer from the greater good?
It's PBR. It's a PBR.
Wow, what a perfect combination of things! Is that the other side of the can?
That's right. This is the other side. Yeah.
Wow! Look.
See, this one geared towards me. You know, it says "Attack Peter" right there. So it did. It did attack me.
Why does it say "Attack Peter"?
Well, I mean, they're attacking the things that I love in a way that makes me spend my money. So, you know, they're winning.
Attacking your wallet.
Or I'm winning. I'm not sure.
You're definitely winning. You were able to take Godzilla, a character we've been inundated with in comics, and now it's on your beer. You're definitely winning. From Storycler, what's something besides comics you would go on a massive deep dive to research? Deep dive. Now, Pete, I don't know how much you love research. We talked about Angelique loving it. Do you?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I do love research, especially when you're working on something. I mean, in college, we had to do like pitches for documentary, and we did like a 757-page documentary proposal on Edward
Wait,
Ruloff.
You said 700 pages?
Yeah, yeah. They no longer do the class in college because it like broke people.
That's too many pages.
Yeah, and we did two of them. We had to do two of them.
Who was the one on that you said?
It was on Edward Ruloff, the learned murderer. There's a bar in Cornell called Ruloff's, and it's on named after a fucking mass murderer.
Wow, that's very unlike Pete thing to like.
Well, you know, it was in class, so it wasn't like, you know, we had to pick, our team picked it out of, we also did the second one on halitosis. You know, it was a crazy class, man. But, I mean, we would work nonstop. Like, the dude who was presenting on halitosis fell over from stress. Like, I had to, like, dive to try to catch his head from hitting the stage. It was insane.
I have to see this section of your life. Were you doing 700 page document?
Well,
it sounds like you were you the Alex of this group?
No, I'm never the Alex of the group, but
you're always the Pete of the group. I guess that tracks.
Yeah,
I guess that really tracks. A massive deep dive that I would go into. I mean, I actually do like research as well. I mean, it's rare to get the time to really sit and go into something anymore these days.
Yeah.
But definitely food. I cook a lot, so I'm always like trying to figure out more things with food. And as a parent, you're always researching something.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
For sure. Easy Reader says, are you guys suffering from mutant event fatigue? It is wearing me out. Now, this coming off the Age of Revelation, we're sort of in a not event right now, but all the books are branded. As we're moving on to the next thing that's happening. So, I don't know.
I guess the short answer is yes, because I haven't been enjoying the X-Men events. So,
Yeah, but you have fatigue without the events, too. So, I think that's not fair.
That's a good point.
You
that's
have good. Just mutant comic fatigue.
Yeah.
What is it? Shadows of Tomorrow are all the books are branded now. Yeah. So, it still does feel like an event. I I don't have the event fatigue. I actually like the way it's coming out of the event. I guess maybe I do. The springboard out of the event has been my favorite part of the last couple of X-Men events specifically, because it does feel like there is some creative direction there, as opposed to in Age of Revelation, we were a little bit stuck in gear. But that's where we are. From Stray Bullet, Brooklyn, his son, wants to know what your favorite comic was that you read today. Ooh. Brooklyn, my son, not the borough.
Well, shout outs to Brooklyn, the son, and not the borough, but also shout outs to the borough.
Shout outs to the borough. That's where I'm
Brooklyn,
from.
You know. But yeah, what is the. Oh, I can pull that right up, actually. I don't have to think about it at all.
Wow.
Planet She-Hulk is the favorite comic that I have read today.
That's a great comic. That's a great one. Favorite comic I read today. I mean, I'll be real about it. It was Angelique's. First Freedom was the favorite comic I read today. A good question that no one would like. The greater good. With McDermott fired, what's the first move each of you would make as the new head coach of the Bills? Shouts. If you don't want to hear this, I'm so sorry. We'll keep it quick. But I will say it would be to get a receiver for Josh Allen to throw.
Yeah. Maybe a receiver that you could keep healthy all season would be huge. I was so emotionally broken. Like, I couldn't believe that nobody was challenging the play that was not an interception. It was a catch. It's just, I felt for McDermott because Buffalo has been, over the years, like, brushed aside. Like, the Buffalo Sabres and the Dallas Stars were famously in, in the playoffs or the Stanley Cup Finals. I'm not sure which after all this time. It's kind of emotionally scarred me, but like the guy was in the crease, scored, and then later they changed the rule. And I feel like, you know, this non-catch thing, they're going to have to clarify that in the rule. And it's just like every time Buffalo suffers. And so when he was like, I'm sticking up for Buffalo, I was like, dude, I hear you, man, because that was such a like,
wow,
how could that not be challenged? Like all of a sudden it was like this crazy play and they're like, yeah, he intercepted it. And it was like, had it last, but I don't know, like,
dude, it's a bummer. It's leave it to UP to take a football question, a comic book podcast, and somehow shift it to hockey. A conversation people
no
like,
goal,
perhaps
bro.
Even less.
You know, Buffalo's seen a lot of shit, dude. That poor city.
I hear it. Angelique Rocher had to hear the rest of this cocktail and hot sauce conversation. Welcome back. We're still making moves.
Oh my gosh, so nice of you to keep joining us.
Question from Capricorn Media Products. Have you seen Primate? I did. Wild as hell. And if you're into animals killing humans, this is for you. Pete, have you seen Primate?
No.
This is a movie where a monkey kills a lot.
Mm. Well, yeah. I mean, this is tough because, as you know, I'm not a big fan of the Planet of the Apes stuff, so this is not... At first, I thought he was talking about Primal, and I'm excited for the new season.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Have you seen Primal, the show on HBO Max, which is Genndy Tartakovsky's show?
Yeah, I've seen all the seasons, and there's a new one coming out that I'm very excited
for. It's out.
Oh, it's out now?
Yes.
Oh, my God. How did I not know that?
I don't know. You don't know that. It's okay. You don't know that often.
Well, I'm excited to check that out because... it's a great show.
Yeah, it is a great show. I've been enjoying it. Let's move on to another question. Straight Bullet, do you agree with McDermott being fired? No. Strange choices. From Ken and Melissa LG, any update on Tyler's comic? Not yet, but
yeah, what's up,
hopefully
man?
Very soon. And I will hopefully be able to start talking about that more and share with you the premise and what happens in it. Wow, a lot of football questions. Do you think, from Stanley, do you think cold weather teams should have to have a dome? No.
Well, here's the tough thing. Everybody loves to watch a game in the snow, but it is brutal to play. You know what I mean? Like,
no, the opposite. It's fine to play. It's brutal to watch. Have you watched the snow game?
Yeah. There's so many.
It's horrible. You're sitting, the bench is cold.
But I'm just saying that, like, there's something magical and so cool about it to watch. So,
it's,
like,
yes, of course,
I don't want a dome because it's no. like so many great memories are tied to like snow games and like, oh my God. But to take that away just seems kind of crazy. But you can understand, like, rain. Like, I remember I went to like a Bears Giants game one time and it just rained so bad, like, you couldn't, it was just too much to sit there, you know?
Unbearable.
I feel bad. Ken and Melissa LG, who are new fans, I've already heard his feelings with my take on Planet of the Apes. That's the problem with today's kind of openness, is if you know so much about people, you're going to find things that really bother you, you know? Whereas before, you know, you didn't have access to all the likes and things about people. So, like, you can.
Are you saying you're too out there with likes?
I'm too out there, man. You know what I mean? People know too many things.
That's not the problem. We used to have different opinions and it was okay. It's now that's less accepted. Yeah. But it's okay. I think you have to say what you like. And it's okay. Our show is built on having different opinions. Yeah. Like, it's okay. Speaking of that, Pete, have you seen Heated Rivalry, says Nat Towson?
No, I don't even know what that is.
Oh, you should watch it. You're a hockey fan. It's the hockey show.
Oh, yeah, that's that new. Yeah, everybody was talking about it. Like,
it's great.
But, I mean, Shorzy's the original Heated Rivalry. I mean, come on, dude. Give it. Letterkenny is the first. Like, let's bow down to the OG a little bit.
Interesting. I think those are. You could all watch all those shows. They're quite different. I would argue. Scope. Is Planet of the Apes too scary? Says Kurt Jensen.
No, it's just, you know, like, I was having this discussion at the Buffalo fun kind of party we were having on Saturday. There's this guy who doesn't like Star Wars. And I was like, what the, you know, and he was like, the pew-pew, like, something about it. And there's something about, like, seeing it where I just this is Dudes in Masks. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, sometimes I can get lost in the story and the premise, and sometimes I can't. And there's something about Planet of the Apes for me that just keeps me at arm's distance where I'm like...
Well, here's the thing. You got a lot of different options because you're talking about the originals, because then you have all the new ones that are, like, pretty good as far as that
I'm
type
sure.
of movie. The original movie is amazing. I remember watching it as a kid and being like, this is so... good and weird. It's so weird.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I just don't know what it is about it. It's just I can't get into it for some reason.
Nat Towson, do you think David Stearns has a strategy to justify signing so many infielders? You're crossing a line. We're not going to cover this Mets bullshit on this podcast. Because Derek Mainhart says it is inevitable. Alex isn't here and turns into a sports podcast. Yeah. Alex is going to be like mind blown that this is what we talked about. But in his face, that's what you get for not being here. Mm-hmm. It came from the radio. What are your thoughts about the Duffer Brothers not having the end written before filming began, given that they had all this time to make it? Of course, we're talking about Stranger Things. They didn't quite have
it. The ending was insane. Yeah. I mean, it seemed like some people got endings and other people didn't. It seemed like they were setting up for another show or another season of something for me. But
really?
Because it just otherwise, like, why do some people get, like, an amazing ending and then other people are like, we're ending here. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know what happens to them. And it's just like, all right. But
that's
disappointing. I mean, it's hard because, like, as a comedian, as someone who likes to do improv, like, you know, sometimes you put an idea out there and see what happens. And, like, you know, I'm not an amazing writer like the Duffer Brothers, you know? So sometimes you start writing an idea and it changes. So I can understand, like, wanting to leave room for something to see how it's going to kind of do it organically. But, you know, it's kind of just to hear it. You're like, well, that doesn't sound like a good idea.
I have two answers for this. I think from a production point of view, they went from making a season of television to 8 movies, essentially, is what they made in this final season. So that is a lot more work. They were doing a lot of directing. They were doing a lot of producing. So when it says they didn't have it written, I believe there weren't scripts for it, but I bet they've had that ending conceived and in their heads for quite some time. Because honestly, I thought the ending worked. I thought it actually worked really well. It did leave the story open in a way that wasn't gimmicky trying to get another project. It felt very much like great stories I like where the heroes go off and there's more that we can imagine in the story. And I really appreciate that, especially from a show that is about nostalgic storytelling and sort of a retro idea of what modern TV and movies can be. So I thought it all came together really well. And if they didn't have the script finalized, I'm not mad about it. It's only when it doesn't work, recent Marvel movies, that it really bothers me, the viewer. All right. Audience question, favorite to win the Super Bowl? Just not the Patriots. Thank you, please. The greater good.
Just not the Patriots, please.
Are you excited for Stanley? Are you excited for the Wonder Man show?
Yes.
I am also excited.
Great actors in it. Can't wait to see what they're going to do.
I hope it's, you know, all of the hype. We've had this for so many Marvel shows lately where it gets close to when they're coming out and all the hype is just insane. And news, not just hype. All the news is insanely negative. It's just like, hey, they won't let anyone watch it until it's on the air. It's like, that's not a good sign. But we got to keep hoping. Wonder Man, a character I've always liked back in the comics. Great. Talk about retro nostalgia storytelling. Great classic 90s Marvel character. Very good. Let's see. Schwickler, what sports do you follow beyond the obvious few?
I watch, well, you know, I like the Olympics when they're on, but basketball, hockey, and baseball, and football.
Who do you follow hockey?
Sabres.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Sabres, Knicks, Giants, Yankees.
No. Used to be a great lineup. Suffering for quite some time. That used to be like, okay, you just like to win, and now
I got a story on each why I like each team.
I love watching. I don't follow hockey, but I love watching hockey live. There's more like exciting sport to watch live than hockey. I feel like it's so intense.
Oh yeah, it's so much fun.
I love to watch college basketball. I like to watch darts. Anybody watching darts out there?
Nice.
They'll show darts on one of the weird...
Oh, yeah, the Ocho, bro.
Even on one of the weird stations I have on, like, the Samsung TV we have, we'll get darts sometimes. I'm like, what the fuck is this? It's great. Fantastic. And last question, Ken and Melissa LG, growing up, would you rather have been on Cobra, the Foot, or a Stormtrooper? Man, great question.
Yeah. I mean, I almost want to say, obviously, none of them because they're all bad guys, but Cobra famously didn't get shot a lot. You know what I mean? For bad guys, like, they were always missing with their bullets and stuff like that. So I feel like I would have lived longest on Cobra.
You're just self-preservation.
Because Darth would have definitely choked me out if I was a stormtrooper. There's no
question. Didn't choke out those stormtroopers.
Oh, come on, dude.
They just got lit up.
They'd be like, who's that guy in the corner? And I'd be like, oh, shit. They'd be like,
Even as a kid, I was like, when a stormtrooper would get hit by like an Ewok rock, and they'd be like, oh! I was always like, man, those guys are soft. But I always thought I would be I feel like I'd be the stormtrooper that really changed everything.
Yeah, but you got to say the Foot, right? Because they got to skateboard and stuff and live underground in that sweet kind of setup, you know.
That was my only real exposure to what New York City was when I was a kid. Nice. Just that movie, essentially. And like, yeah, sure, it popped up in grown-up movies, but I was like, this isn't for me.
Yeah, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles told you what the real New York City was like, you know what I mean?
I was like, okay, I can get with that. You can just hang out with your friends if you do a little bit of crime. Okay.
Oh, my God.
And that is it for your audience questions.
Thank you, audience, for your
questions.
Great
questions all around. Thank you for sending them in. But now it's time for a little section that is no one's favorite. Just kidding.
Aww.
It's Pete's favorite because he is the star of this section. It is trivia.
This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win 25 free dollars to Midtown Comics Online, because if you had 25 bucks, why not go to a comic book shop? You know what I mean?
Why not? Just say me to say trivia.
Yeah.
To play trivia, that is, sorry. And came from the radio says, no, Alex equals fun fact times. That is correct. A new tradition that seems to be happening is that every time Alex isn't here, Pete adds a new letter of answers.
That's
and
right.
It has something related to me. So that's very nice. So just say me if you would like to play
first
trivia.
Hand up or
first hand
hey,
up.
Hey, hey Schoikler's
oh,
in there.
Oh, we got Schoikler coming
the Shoik's
in.
Schoik's is in there. Hey.
The Schoik needs $25 to spend on comics right, and not you. Puppets. Not oh, puppets.
I miss the Schoikes in real life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. Still see him every. I see him once a month.
Oh, that's beautiful.
My guy Schoik.
You see him at the comic book shop?
No, I see him at a little show I do called Characters Welcome.
Oh yeah, Pete, plugs dry, for that.
Pete, there's a little place you can park your sled dogs out front if you want to make your way up.
Oh, nice. Nice. Good to know.
Get on your mucklucks and go for a little journey.
All right, today's
trivia.
Come
out of snow country, my guy.
Oh man. Today's trivia is about the comic book character Rogue and a small nod to the legend Jimmy Cliff, RIP, and thanks for all the great music. Please listen to all four options before making your selection. Here we go, Schoikler. Question number one. Rogue's first appeared in what comic in 1981? Is it A, Avengers Annual number 10?
Okay.
B, just because he's a man doesn't mean he's a good camper. C, Stephen Campman. Or D, Justin Chairs. And in case you're wondering, hey, what's Justin Chairs? Justin could share something. Or
I share anything.
Oh, yeah, or he could be a character from one of his shows. You know, characters are welcome.
Yes, that's really nice. How do I know what to share?
Well, that's the fun.
Okay.
You know, like it's dealer's choice. You can share anything you like.
Feel free. Great. Let's see what the Schoik comes back with. Debating probably between two letters to say.
And he's probably wondering if he should save Justin Shares or if he should pick it first one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. That's a great point. But he is thinking a lot about it. Kurt Jensen says E, more trivia.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Should've done more trivia.
Stray Bullet with a heavy D. Schoikler says D,
but also A.
Look, he can't not get it right.
Oh, nice.
Great. Sharing a thing. I will share that I, over the course of my time doing characters on the show, Characters Welcome, I've had written a lot of things in Sharpie on my body.
Whoa.
One of those things, cuck. One of those things, dickless. One of those things, fuck puppy. One of those things across my back, straight from the titty. So,
wow. Your wife is an incredible woman.
She's like, hey, what's all this black marker on the sheets? I was like, oh, yeah. My comedy is messy.
Ooh, permanent marker on the sheets, bro. Oh, that's not a good look.
Not a good look. Not a great look.
Man, what a great share.
Great share. Weird share. Yeah. Go deep, they say.
All right, here we go. Question number two. Who is writing this new badass Rogue comic? Is it A, Erica Schultz? B, I don't know if I should put you on a McDonald's menu or in an action movie. C, Beltram McLean. Or C, or D, Justin Shares.
Schoikler, Justin, you didn't share anything I didn't already know. That's okay, Schoik, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You're Schoikler, a crossover.
Just because you're tight friends, you know, you might know stuff that others don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's 100%
true.
You
get to see him once a month. I mean, come on, Schoikes.
I am trying. Yeah, I never see Pete. I'm trying to think of things that I haven't said on this show, but have said in my...
You could share about, like, maybe a film set or a TV show you were recently on.
Great call. Recently?
A job or something you were working. You know what I mean?
That's a good call.
I'm always interested in, you know, stuff you work on. Schoikler, A, but more D.
A, but more D.
Hilarious.
Look, Schoikler, he can't help but get it right.
Oh, yeah, he's always right, that guy.
Let's see.
Correct. Oh, yeah, here, let's get the show.
Cher, I worked in a show called Desus and Mero.
Yeah,
on Showtime. We had one of the first pieces I directed for that show was with John Legend. He was the guest. And awesome. The idea was John Legend had said he would write a song with Desus and Mero. and we only had an hour to do it. So we sit down, and we had not pre-planned any of this, so it was like true improv. And we're like, okay, Meryl, what do you want this song to be about? And he says to John Legend on camera, eating ass. Eating ass. So, and John laughed, and then he wrote, Desus was like, let's stop for a second, I have to go to the bathroom. Desus left to go to the bathroom. John Legend just literally tinkled on the keyboards on an actual piano. And then he wrote a song with the guys called Chocolate Galaxy that is so fucking good. That sketch is still online. I believe it's still on the
Can people Mero. Listen to Chocolate Galaxy?
Yes.
No, that's amazing.
So just Google Chocolate Galaxy if you want to hear a legit banger track about Wow.
I mean, he's got to be so lucky his parents didn't name him like John Mediocre. Hey, okay, there you go. Dad joke of the night.
I like it. You thought of that. Didn't really want to say it, but really then had to, you know?
Had to.
You got a good one.
Sometimes when it's in the head, you got to share it. All right, here we go. Last one. Who's the great artist on this new Rogue comic? Is it A, Luigi Zagaria? B, just because you were old and a dick, it doesn't make you wise. C, Richard Wise. Or D, Justin Shares.
Justin Shares. I Googled Chocolate Galaxy and it came back with a fudge cake recipe. That's not what I wanted.
Nope.
Dropping the link in the chat.
Nice.
Schoeckler. This is the longest we've ever listened to the trivia music. I will say that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Schoeckler likes to milk it. You know what I mean?
He does. He does like to milk it.
Dude, what stinks is if this was the live show, you know, he'd have some puppets or something in between the downtime. You know,
look, okay, he writes A slap D slap A slap D. man, Stanley has a good point. We also need Pete shares.
Ooh, wow.
Pete, do you have a share? Can I pass my share to you?
Jeez.
Also someone who worked a lot on film television sets, has also lived a wild life. I've known Pete for 20 fucking years now, and he'll still tell a story where I'm like, what? What section of your life were you doing this in? So if you somehow reveal that you were like 60, I'd be like, of course. You've lived definitely an extra 20, 25 years than me.
Well, that's nice of you to say, but the gray beard, you know, definitely... let's see. What do I want to share? It was funny because I was an old friend of mine called me, and we were talking about the good old days, and we were talking about the time where I was living out in L.A. and working for a film company, an independent film company, and they made this like amazing film. Oh my God, I can't think of the main actress. She was the voice of the Bride of Chucky in the Chucky movies. It's like Lily something. Or
if I said that off the top of my head, I should win a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah. Anyways, she was unbelievable. And this was before like phones or Google Maps or anything. So I'm driving around LA trying to
Jennifer Tilly. I do know that name.
Yeah, Jennifer Tilly. Trying to find the place to drop off this film because they finally got it done and they needed to get developed, and I couldn't find it for the
shot on film.
Yeah, and I was like driving around LA with like just a shotgun seat full of canisters, film canisters, trying to find the place to get the film developed.
This is stressing me out.
And I couldn't find it, and I had to drive all the way back to their film office, and they were so pissed. Like, this guy has his whole family there and they're waiting to go on vacation. And, like, I had to drive back and say I couldn't find it. He was so pissed. If I wasn't, like, an intern working for Sewell Credit, he would have just, like, murdered me, I'm sure. But it was just
That's some Keystone Cop shit right there, yeah. Pete driving around. Did you answer did you finish the trivia question?
Well, yes, I did.
Yeah, did you say it?
We didn't. He guessed A, but we didn't say the secret.
Yeah, no. Well, then he won. You got to sell it. He won and stuff.
He won! Yay! Schoeckler won.
Good.
I got so distracted.
And so what's the secret thing?
Of course, we're talking about the 1986 comedy Club Paradise.
Club Paradise, great. And who the guy that perished?
Jimmy Cliff.
What was he known for?
Unbelievable reggae music and also lots of different kinds of music, but mainly known for his unbelievable reggae music.
Okay, great. I didn't know you were such a fan.
Dude, I love music.
No, I know you love music. Stray Bullet, we did get lost in trivia a little bit. That's what, get us talking, get us sharing. We're going to go. Yeah. It is crazy. That's why old people talk so much, because they just have so many stories. Folks, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day, as Pete Patrone says as he enters the chat. Happy pre-NCBD. There's a lot of comics coming out tomorrow. Pete, what are a couple that you're looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward to Rogue number one, as well as Planet She-Hulk number three. Mm. I think this is a really cool first issue for Rogue, and I'm excited to see what they're going to do with her. She's such a great character. And just Planet She-Hulk has been such a smart, cool take on putting She-Hulk on Planet Sakaar and what that would mean and all the changes and all the great stuff. And I think it's just such a fun fish-out-of-water story, and I'm just having a blast with it.
It has been very fun. Looking forward to that coming out tomorrow. I gotta give it up for Assorted Crisis Events coming out tomorrow, issue number 8 from Image Comics, written by my guy, Dennis Camp.
Dude, you've been camping for a while, bro.
I've been camping. I'm like some sort of Dave Camp man, or whoever you said in the trivia. I love this comic. It's upsetting almost all the time, so looking forward to another real deep dive into the tragic consequences of human life as told through a world where time itself and the world is broken in a sci-fi way. Really enjoy that. And I'll also shout out Red Coat number 60. From Ghost Machine. That comic, it's really become one of my faves in the stack whenever it's coming out. It really, really self-contained. It reminds me, the storytelling cadence is similar to Starman, a book that I love, where we follow our main character as he has sort of a main thing of being an immortal soldier, but he's also a ne'er-do-well, so he gets into a bunch of sort of one-off scraps. Looking forward to what happens tomorrow. Justin obsessed with camping. I love tent life. I love sleeping on ice-cold earth. Stray Bullet, what is Justin's shirt? It is rock and roll with lots and lots of words. This is a Josh Ritter tour shirt. Pete, of course, wearing the Felix the Cat shirt that we bought the same one of. Someday we were hoping to match up again, but alas, it is not today. Actually, no, I'm not wearing it underneath. Great, folks, that's the show. We have lived and done a fantastic show here. It was a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks for listening.
Real quick, say that we are
sucking on a cheesesteak.
Oh, man.
That's what we're doing, but really what we're doing is we're saying goodbye. We're saying goodbye is what we're doing. Sucking on a cheesesteak, Pete. Former resident of Philadelphia.
That's right.
Guys, been a great show. Check us out. Comic Book Club News, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Subscribe. See us on Blue Sky, Instagram, or check us out on comicbooklive.com. We'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.
Thanks. Take care of yourself. We need you.
Nerds. Yurts!
Nice nap. Thanks for the shout out to Brooklyn. They sit
on crappy couches and they run the secret. Occasionally they let that special guest speak. So grab your grin, hello, don't be late for it, cause their girlfriends can barely tolerate it. Comic book club. Comic book club. Comic book club.
correct.
Time for another Pete share.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.